You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Lays it up, no good. Davis did not foul. Rebound Mirotić. Holiday will advance it past half court and dribble it out. And the New Orleans Pelicans win 131-123, sweeping the Portland Trailblazers and advancing to the Western Conference semifinals.
Pels fans, if you were there in games three or four, love to hear from you. Why do you have any confidence that this team can do well moving forward? Hour three of the Sports Hangover underway. Gus Kattengill with you. Coming up at 2:15, Marlon Favorite, he was at the spring game. We'll get his interpretation of what took place. You heard Glenn Gilbo's take at 1:30. His column said, hey, spring's not eternal. Or hope. Spring's eternal or something like that, right? Bottom line, not that much hope. Now again, it's the spring game. Can they do better? But Coach Ogeron, not happy with what he saw, the play of the quarterbacks as well. And if you were there, I'd like to get your opinions on it. Matt Muscoden, after further review, coming up at 3 o'clock. No doubt he'll give his takes on that. And also LSU being swept on the diamond over at South Carolina. And the Saints making a decision that affects their receiving core. As we touched on back to start the show, they, over the weekend, let it be known that they were not going to match Baltimore's 2 years, $7 million deal with $3.4 million incentives for Willie Snead. So Willie Snead is officially a Baltimore Raven. And Willie, earlier today, paying his respect, saying goodbye to the folks, and pretty nice. He said the following: being a New Orleans Saint has been an honor and a privilege. The whole city has been nothing but supportive from my first practice to my last game. I truly thank the fans for a memorable experience. The New Orleans Saints as an organization have been first class since I stepped into the building, from the owner, RIP Mr. Benson, down to the chef in the kitchen. I just want to say thank you for allowing me to feel welcomed and supporting me during my time with the team. What I'm going to miss most is the men in the locker room and coaches, the relationships I've built with the men throughout the years I can hold on to the rest of my life. Playing alongside great men is what this game is all about. Even though I'm sad to go, I'm even more excited for the next chapter of my life. I can't wait to strap on the strap it on as the Baltimore Ravens and give everything I have for my new team. I will never forget opportunities and the Saints gave me to be able to prove myself in this league. I wish you guys nothing but the best and look forward to playing you guys in week 7. Hashtag trust God. Yes, Ravens and Saints will play this year. So it's the latest when it comes to that. Look, obviously the team got Cameron Meredith. You got Ted Ginn. Brandon Coleman was signed back as well. I think maybe Trevin Dirrell. Couple of other guys that are on the roster maybe could be competing for some playing time there as well. Wouldn't be surprised if you saw the Saints go receiver somewhere in the draft as well. Remember, look, I threw it out there last week, you know, in a mock draft on an Atlanta radio station. Do I go Cortland Sutton at 27 if he was there? The wide receiver from SMU. Big size, 6'3", plays big, even bigger than that. Just a monster, as the graph would call him. But I wound up going with Dallas Goedert at tight end. Yes, I know they got Ben Watson, and I know they got Cameron Meredith. I think Watson's more of a bridge into the next tight end that this team's going to get. I think either they go at one or at three. At some point in this draft, they're drafting a tight end. Hayden Hurst, a popular tight end that's been mocked to a lot of to the Saints in a lot of different mock drafts. ESPN.com actually has, as a headline, when it comes to the Saints, that the pick would come down to Hurst or Goddard? And where would you go? And Mike Tripoli writing, hey, look, it's kind of down to this. Hurst, considered by many more of a complete receiver blocker. And Goddard has a higher upside, perhaps, as a pass catcher. Now, in the mock draft that I was on in Atlanta, Hurst was gone. Cowboys took him. So that's why I went with Goddard. Now, let's see. Again, because this is how I feel Thursday can go. And the reason I'm bringing this up is apparently I'm going to be on tonight on ESPN nationally. Freddie and Fitzsimmons at 7:30 to pick for the Saints. They're doing a mock draft. So they're getting everybody from around the country to do it as well. And I'm going to get emailed to me the first 24 selections to kind of see where it is, where we are going into, the next set of selections, in which include the Saints. It'll be interesting to see where some of those players go. In the Atlanta one, Lamar Jackson was gone. Another guy I probably would have thought of. Yes, there's some defensive players, but I find myself I'm going offense for some reason. Does that make sense? I know edge pass rusher is still a concern, and it's still a need and an area to go into. We're going to have all of those, I would say probably the top 3 to 5 at each of the positions that I would consider could be positions you need to go and get. Over the next couple of days, we'll take a look at it. Brian Nola East, as he comes in on Tuesdays, we'll do that tomorrow and start looking at some of the positions that we look at. We'll ask you to do some homework. Where do you think the Saints kind of go? I mean, I'm talking about position-wise. I've said for a while now my top three, right, would be tight end. I thought maybe an edge pass rusher. And I still kind of thought receiver. Now, that was before Cameron Meredith. You're assuming and you're hoping that he's healthy enough that he would be that other receiver so you wouldn't have to go that way in the draft. Know me. Keep improving the linebacking core. I thought it was a huge addition and a difference as to why the defense got better in 1 year. Yes, it's easy to look at Lattimore. It's easy to look at Marcus Williams and say, look, that's what happened. But I'm telling you, plays that you think you see and you don't see, you better have athletic linebackers, man. They come in and fill the stops of the run game, cover receivers or tight ends. More importantly, rush the quarterback. It's evolving, and it's something that I've been trying to tell fans. Getting to the quarterback is not as easy as, hey, we need sacks. Great. Quarterbacks aren't holding the ball that long. In order to do that, though, got to have good corners that cover and force that quarterback to hold it that split second longer. You need to have good safety play as well, and I think those areas improved for the Saints and it helped the pass rush. You did see more sacks. You did see more pressure on the quarterback, but that was because of that back end. So, yeah, I've seen in some mocks and could see the Saints go get another corner. You can see how it would make sense, wouldn't it? You have one shutdown corner in Lattimore, and you could get another solid corner or a shutdown corner possible. Now you have two that could really lock up the outside. That'd help you. I just think the team has a lot of different avenues and areas it could go. So I think it's going to make for a fun Thursday because I don't know who I'm going to pick tonight. It's going to be, I think, based on who's available. And I just feel like maybe that's how the team is going to go. Unless they are targeting one of the quarterbacks. Or do you make a move to move up from 27 to target somebody else in the position group? So we'll touch on that starting tomorrow and getting you closer into it. 800-998-1003. Again, if you were at the LSU spring game, if you were at any of the Pels games, 3 and 4, want to get fan reaction from what it was like to actually be there and what you saw and observed, not only over at the spring game, and do you take, I guess, the spring game that serious in terms that you think this is what your team's going to look like? Some fans do. Some fans go, out. Oh, there it is. This is what it's going to be like. It's just, when you put on SportsCenter Saturday night, you see the Georgia spring game. It looks like a home football game. The place is so packed. And, you know, yeah, Fromm in his second year's throwing passes. And the number one overall recruit from a year ago or prospect is a quarterback in Fields for Georgia. And he's throwing touchdown passes. I mean, it's like you have touchdown passes here, touchdown passes everywhere, being thrown everywhere. What you got, Dean?
Gus, let me ask you this question. Why do you think it's been so difficult for LSU to get a quarterback?
I mean, here it is, you have a school that has the history
it has the alumni, the money, the fan base. What's the difficulty do you see?
I think it's system, right? If I want to be a quarterback, okay, first off, you have to know what kind of quarterback you want based on what it is, right? For years, when you had Spurrier, hear me out. Here's my argument. When you had Spurrier, you had things of that nature, it was the air raid sort of offense, right? I mean, four receivers, five receivers, we're just flinging it everywhere. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a quarterback and I like to throw the football, that's where I'm going to go. If I'm a running quarterback, I wouldn't have ever gone to Florida under Spurrier or even in years after that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Oregon's perfect example.
Yeah.
Oregon's a guy that you probably dual threat, right? Can kind of fling it every now and then, but for the most part, it's the leg up, smack, smack, look. I mean, that kind of quarterback.
But
right?
We also got our passes out to our running backs as well. It wasn't just downfield. We got so much this
system.
Do you think that having had the fantastic running backs that LSU has had has hampered them getting a quarterback who's going to throw the ball?
It should have made it easier to throw the football.
Okay,
right. I mean, when you have as many NFL running backs as you had,
Leonard Fournette,
and running backs before them, it should have been easier. Because what you're saying is, you got to go back. I mean,
10, 12 years?
I'm trying to think, honestly. I mean, look, Mettenberger was good his senior year. Would have liked to seen him be there a couple of years ago. You know, like a number of years there. But
so do you think? So I guess my question is:
I think
do
it's
you
not
think,
knowing how you want to use? Okay, look at the quarterbacks LSU has right now, and Glenn Gilbert made a good point, right? Les Miles and recruited the guys they have now, one way or another, right? If it was less heavy, but Ogeron was a recruiting coordinator, so you have a guy Miles Brennan's more of a passer. You have Lowell Narcisse who's more of a runner, but can throw, right? And you got two other QBs there. It's kind of similar. You know, McNeely. What point is, what offense do you want to be?
What's your identity?
Right. Well, it goes back to yes, exactly. What's your identity? Do you want to run? Do you want to throw? I mean, what?
And if you decide your identity is going to be a running attack as a quarterback, that probably makes me less inclined to want to go to a school like LSU because I'm not going to be throwing the ball down the field as much as I want to be because you're so run heavy.
You do see a lot of time, you know, and that's the thing. Yes, prep football has gone very heavy into trying to find the best athlete on your team. You put him the ball in his hands, and now you call him a quarterback.
Let him make plays.
Okay?
Yeah.
I think that's hurt a lot of development and things. That's why you see a lot of these top quarterbacks that go in there. I mean, people look at Lamar Jackson when he came into the next level because he rushed for 3,000 yards, but he passed for 9.
Mm-hmm.
But all they see is the highlight where he just blows by people going, you can't do that in the NFL.
Right.
Right? So that's the thing. It's like, do you want success in college? But my point of it all, anything, is I'm rambling now. There, in today's college game, there are way too many examples of teams that you don't even know. Like, their initials be NT something, and you're like, what are they? Or do you know the mascot that are dropping 49-point games? So you can score, and a lot of it has been with this open offense, you know, dual threat, read option sort of thing, and it puts points on the board. So that's why, I mean, again, I'm an LSU fan. I'm like, why can't they score? You know, it's like, why is the offense so struggling when you look everywhere else? And, you know, I look again at that spring game highlights that, you know, because ESPN aired it live, the Georgia spring game. Emmitt Smith's there, his kids being recruited by him. They look like a regular season game.
Right.
I mean, those guys look like NFL players.
Right.
And LSU used to look like that, too. But my thing is this. You looked last year, you had a freshman quarterback lead Georgia, and you had a freshman quarterback just literally step off of the sidelines at halftime for Alabama and lead them to a national championship.
Correct.
And I could play, if you'd like, Ed Ogeron talking about his quarterback play, you know? And it's
– I mean, because to me, it was baffling when you guys got – when you have guys like a Malachi Dupree and you're not getting the ball in his hands for him to make plays. This is a guy who was an elite receiver, and you're saying you're finding difficulty in getting him the ball? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why? How is that possible that you're having these kind of issues? Is it your route tree? Is it your quarterback is not developed? Something is missing, and it just doesn't.
I think another problem that LSU has had, too, is you don't have a quarterback that's there longer than a year or two. You know? And because of the pressure it's on, can they develop? Can they stay? You know, it's like you make a mistake, you pull. I mean, look, it's one of the reasons I thought last year you play Miles Brennan towards the end of the year to see if he can be that guy or not, you know, because he looks like he's struggling this spring. So, I don't know.
Well, I guess to take it a step further than that, in the beginning process, what's the recruiting process like when it comes to getting a quarterback? Whether high schools are developing quarterbacks or not, other schools around the country are able to get a quarterback who's a pocket guy who can mm-hmm. deliver a pass.
From the two tracks over.
Yeah, and develop as well.
Yeah.
You know? So, like I said, it's...
I was just curious about
no,
that.
No, it's a question that you're asked and wondered, and I have as well. I can't understand
to
it.
To consistently not be able...
Tonight was up and
here's Ogeron.
About the quarterbacks. Sometimes they're doing well, sometimes they're not. I thought Justin McMillan tonight had a good game. I thought he extended plays with his feet. When he was in, he moved the football. When him and Clyde were back there, I thought that the offense was moving the football down the field. I'm just talking to Steve, but there's still some inconsistencies. But there's still some misreads. There's still some misthrows.
And look, here's the thing. When you face some of the teams you're going to face this year, even though it's at home, Georgia and Alabama, you got to play the national championship game, essentially, mm-hmm. with those two teams. You better be able to score.
You better be able to score, Gus.
I mean, those two teams have good defenses, too, so you better be able to score. And if you're struggling with, I mean, I was just reading his column, you know, to get ready to talk to him about it, and it just missed snaps, fumbles. I get it. You could say that sort of, but, you know, it's spring ball and all that, but you got to have a single caller.
But there are certain things that
you didn't hear that, and you didn't see that from Fromm and other guys. You know what I'm saying?
There are certain things that, listen, if you're practicing this and you're doing this every single day, right. You shouldn't have the miscues that you're having. You shouldn't have overthrown balls. You shouldn't have miscues on snaps. This is what you do all day, every day.
Well, keep in mind, too, they had several scrimmages throughout spring on Saturdays in which the offense didn't score. So this isn't surprising.
So that would make me say, you know what? I don't know if I want to go play ball there because we can't get down the field, man.
There you go.
So something has to change.
Well, there you go. Marlon Favorite was there. Let's ask him. He's part of the LSU Sports Radio Network. We'll take a quick break. We'll ask him his thoughts on the spring game. Again, the headlines haven't been kind coming out of that spring game. We'll take a quick break. We come back on ESPN New Orleans. Sports Hangover continues. Now we bring in Marlon Favorite. Big Fave 504 will be part of our NFL draft coverage on Thursday. We'll be over at Dave & Buster's 1200 Porter Street. We'll kick things off at 6 p.m. Marlon, how are you, man?
Feeling good, man. I love the Sir Duke intro by Stevie Wonder. Hello.
There you go. There it is. Look, we spoke with Glenn Gilbo earlier today about what he thought about the LSU spring game. And he said, hey, look, by what I'm seeing, 8-4 would be a successful season. And he didn't have much hope just based off of kind of what he saw and, you know, what the teams are playing and schedule and all this other stuff. Just your overall take, and then we'll kind of break down certain areas.
Well, my overall take is I feel that this team does have a lot of potential. Just watching the spring game, being on the sideline as well. I didn't go to the press box like I usually do. I wanted to be on the sideline because not only did I want to pay attention to how they were playing on the field, but I also wanted to see the behavior, the sideline behavior, the chemistry, and how the team is gelling. So the talent is obviously there. It's just putting it all together. As far as an 8-4 team, I mean, it's a possibility, but as this team can very well go 9-3 or, you know, even better. So I mean, I really think that, again, if we look at the LSU team as a whole, it has a lot of potential.
So when you say the word potential, because Glenn and I were sort of talking about this, one of the problems that I think maybe some LSU fans sort of have, and I do really, just in trying to measure up, and I know it's hard to do, maybe it's almost silly to do, I'm just going based on what I saw in the national championship game. And, you know, some seeing the footage from the spring games. I mean, Jalen Hurts got sacked 7 times, you know, and like was terrible in the Bama spring game because, you know, the freshman, now sophomore, he has a hurt hand, so he didn't play. But, you know, you just look at that, and then I just remember that national championship game, and dude, the level of athleticism and talent that I saw was insane. And I guess maybe that scares some folks compared to, like, does LSU have that talent? You use the word potential. You think they're on par with what Georgia and Alabama's having right now?
They're probably like a step or two behind, and I'll tell you why. I think those teams are a little more established. When I use the word potential, give you an opposite example. Right. 2011, going into the 2011 season, I didn't think that LSU team had potential. I thought that team had it already. I think that team was past tense a national champion contender. So that's going, if you were to ask me that question, let's say going into the 2011 season, I'll say, oh man, they arrived. I think the team we'll go to a BCS bowl, if not win their SEC championship and national championship based off of that roster, based off of the players that was on that team, that quarterback, the amount of experience that they had on that team, so on and so forth. It wasn't a lot of guys that we didn't think was going to not be there because of the draft or going to the draft. Whereas this LSU team, the one we saw on Saturday, I can't say that, okay, this team is going to be an SEC champion, they're going to go to the BCS Bowl. All I can tell you is, hello, somebody. They have the potential to be good. So it's still a lot out there. I think after a few weeks in fall ball, we'll have a little more clear vision of how the team's going to look going into the season.
Look, I look at it like this as well, Marlon. Fall ball, and then once the season starts, a lot of different things can sort of happen as well. So by no means am I looking at a spring game going, aha, that's it, it's over. You know, but Marlon, you go by what you see. You know, I mean, you go by what you see. I mean, there's been 2 lane spring games that I've been a part of, and I'm like, they can't get a first down, and season comes, and they can't get a first down. So we'll see where it goes. Now, let's move on to some positive things because, I don't know, did a running back kind of stand out to you? I'm kind of getting the sense and feel that maybe one specific running back maybe had a nice spring game and stood out, because that's been a position group that we're wondering now that Geist is gone, who's going to be the lead runner there?
And that's one of the positions, running back. Just judging from the spring game, I think Clyde Helaire really stood out like a sore thumb, very shifty, going through the running in between the tackles. He got to the third level. I don't want to say it was battle or one of the guys in the second level. He made a miss. He did a one step, did a nice little cut move, got an extra 5 or 6 yards. So he has potential. Trey Provenz as well. I thought for a guy that's probably about, you know, third, maybe fourth on this depth chart, has showed some flashes of some potential. And believe it or not, Lenard Fournette, man, he was pounding up the middle as well. Mm-hmm. So I see a situation where LSU still has one more running back that has to report, and that's Chris Curry. Once he comes in fall ball and we look at him and Allaire and Fournette and the rest of the guys working in for that position, I think then we'll have a clearer vision at the running back position. But back to the potential deal, I don't think LSU's running game had potential last year. Why? I thought that running game will probably be that running duo between Darrell Williams and Darius Geis taking it back a year ago, their running game is going to be solid. This particular team has a lot of potential in that area.
All right, so when you take a look at it, speaking with Marlon Favor out of Big Fave 504, this is the way to follow him on Twitter, part of the LSU Sports Radio Network. you and I have touched on this already, because there's question marks at quarterback, because there's question marks at running back, trying to see where it goes there, and we haven't even got to receiver or tight end or the line. This is going to be a team that's going to win or lose, I think, by if their defense can sort of take over or keep them close in games. Am I wrong on that?
Oh, not at all. I think that's something that we do see. A team that's going to fight to keep these games close, fight to get those, you know, one touchdown, maybe a score and a half lead and win. This team has that. Now, coming up in the next few years, I think they're going to be pretty good just because of the amount of young talent that they have on the team right now. And if we can get some guys to stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. And Obviously, look, one of the things that will definitely help, and I thought you were going to go when you said, hey, maybe Georgia and Alabama is a little more ahead. And you're right when you said established. But I also think they have depth, and they also have good lines, right? I mean, that's something that we've seen when LSU and Bama were close and the Tigers were winning some of those games. You remember Alabama players saying at the end of the game, we know this is going to be the most physical game that we're going to play all season. It's a battle. This is a ice tub sort of, you know, time every time we play them. And you like keeping it inside the trenches. Do you think that the LSU D line is going to be an area where can be a big positive for them?
That's a big positive for them. That's something I got out of Saturday. They constantly was back there harassing the quarterbacks, particularly off the edge. You look at some of their stand-up linebacker guys that they have step in there and just pretty much like Chasson and all these guys pretty much stepping up to the plate and saying, okay, we are going to establish ourselves as pass rushers. I mean, you have arguably one of the best defensive line coaches in the country, and Ed Orgeron, and not to mention Big Dennis Meatball Johnson, taking in and filling the roles. He's been interning under Coach O for the past few years here, so he's learned a lot. So that area looks pretty established for the most part. The defensive line, of course, the secondary, even the linebacker core with a preseason All-American Devin White. So kind of back to our little talk from Friday, man, I feel confident in LSU's defense. And defense wins championships, but you need a little help from your offense. And I think that's an area that I cannot wait to the fall to get a full assessment on how they look moving forward into that big Miami game.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, and of course it's, you know, we'll see where it goes. Look, it is what it is. It's a spring game. There's always some positives, some pluses. And, I mean, let's try that again. Some positives, some minuses, things of that nature. What's the number one overall thing that kind of stood out to you, though, that you could say like a summary, that what you saw with your eyes Saturday? What stood out to you? Like, how are you remembering Saturday?
Three quarterbacks putting the ball on the money. That's one thing that stood out to me. When McMillan was in there, Justin McMillan, he threw some really good balls. Loyal Narcisse, that one big play that stood out to me, and it just so happened I was standing next to this guy's brother. Me and Jordan Jefferson were standing right next to each other, and that one-hand catch that his little brother Justin Jefferson had caught, and one-hander, I mean, Odell Beckham's about 5 feet away from me. He was even like, man, that looks good, and he ran it 95 yards. So, I mean, that what I wanted to see as, you know, talking to you and Jay on Friday, the quarterback play and the receivers, that looks good. The receivers, oh, my gosh. If you find a way to get those monsters the ball, and it's like they're like five deep looking good. I mean, from Giles to Jefferson to big, oh, my gosh, Big Anderson, Big D Anderson. I stood next to him. I felt like I was Little Marlin. I'm talking about Junior. So if you can find that rhythm at quarterback and get those guys the ball, I think we're talking about a different LSU team. Because to be honest with you, on offense, Gus, that's probably their strength.
I was going to say, Marlin, that's something, you know, you're absolutely right. Because it's almost like it's an afterthought. You almost forget, at least I do sometimes. They somehow got the number one receiver in the country, or definitely in the state for sure. They got like two of them.
Marshall.
They got like two of the best receivers in the country. Yet it's baffling because they don't know who's throwing the football to them. I don't know how this school continues to get receivers when they don't get the ball thrown to them, but they do. So, Marlin, just get them the ball. I mean, that's, yeah.
To your point, Gus, just get them the ball. If you find – so that brings us back to the elephant in the room, the quarterback position. I don't care if it's a duo threat where you have two. I don't really care. As long as they can get those guys the ball, I think this LSU team is much different. Instead of the insult of a pretty much a 500 team finishing 500, I think you have a situation where they may actually be some contenders coming out the West this year.
That's Marlon Favorite, as always. Appreciate you jumping on Mondays and Fridays, having a little fun with us, and we will see you on Thursday. You got triple duty this week, my friend. Looking forward to it. Dave and Buster, 6 p.m. You'll be part of our draft coverage. What is this? Third year in a row, right? Third year in a row.
Yeah, absolutely.
Making it a habit. Marlon, do your homework.
Third time the charm.
Do your homework, baby. We'll see you on Thursday.
Sounds like a winner.
Sounds good. Sports Hangover will continue next. Dino, this is just for you. I got to do this for you since you're still in here just hanging around. Screaming A, tweeting this 30 minutes ago. The Cavs' road to a title has gotten tougher and tougher, and King James has no one to blame but himself. That 58-second bite coming up just for you next. I know you're excited. Look at you. The excitement level.
You mean he actually gets blamed for something?
Ooh.
LeBron?
Yep.
No.
Yeah, sure he does.
No, he's the king. He's the greatest since Dr. James Naismith.
That's all the time we got for Dino. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans. All right, Dino. Screaming A says it's his fault. LeBron James is in this predicament. Mind you, they're 2-2, but they are having to work their way out of the first round as opposed to, you know, before I even hear what he has to say, I need the GM essentially over there.
Stephen A is now a court jester, and the king is going to put him out to pasture. He should never say anything negative about the king. So what? Question. Because he made Kyrie leave. So what? Because he got rid of everybody else. So
coaches, players.
That's not LeBron's doing.
Sure it is.
No. LeBron's the greatest thing ever. There would be no basketball without LeBron.
No basketball.
I started playing basketball because of LeBron, even though I'm older than LeBron.
Dr. Naismith.
Exactly. Dr. Naismith had conferences with LeBron when he was putting together the Peach Basket in Kansas.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Here's Screaming A.
If Kyrie Irving were here, are we having this discussion?
No, not in the first round.
Thank you. And why is Kyrie gone? I mean, why? I mean, am I making
LeBron
that up?
Chased him out of Cleveland.
So in other words, what I'm saying to you is this. You're the reason. You're a primary reason that your situation is what it is. But we're supposed to sit here and do nothing but shower him with praise and credit because of how he looks. He looked that way last year. He looked that way a couple of years ago when they won the championship. When they lost the championship the first round, the first time to Golden State, people were saying he should have been the MVP in a losing effort. This is nothing new. We know the greatness of LeBron James. But the difficulty, the road to prosperity, this particular season is arguably more difficult than ever before, and it's his fault.
Ooh. Now, Dino, all this, a lot of people are talking about the MVP vote, obviously, and who it should go to. I will say this: the guy played all the games this year.
Jrue Holiday played 81 games.
I hear.
James Harden was the man from beginning to end.
They can still beat a team by 20 when Harden has an off night.
He had an off night against Minnesota in the playoffs. How'd that work out? Exactly.
What about
Here's my point. Nobody is questioning how phenomenal of a basketball player that LeBron James is. That's not in question. No question the guy does his work. But it's amazing how when situations don't go LeBron's way, it's everybody else. You know, LeBron needs help. He needs this. He needs that. But when they win, look at the greatness of LeBron.
Greatness.
Come on. I mean, you can't have it both ways. Not once have you heard, and I'm gonna keep saying this. You want to talk about a guy who's an elite superstar? When have you ever heard the words out of AD's mouth? I'm considering leaving. I may not re-sign. Matter of fact, I'm going to sign my contract early because I want to bring a championship to one city and one city alone. New Orleans. I'm not going anywhere. You hear other media people saying, oh, Anthony Davis might be going to Boston. You're not even here. You don't even know anything that's going on. You're just looking for a story. Mm-hmm. AD has shown you his commitment to this city, to the fan base. He is everywhere in this city. He's engaged in making sure that this city comes to – that players want to come and play here. Okay? You got Boogie here. Give Dell Demps his credit. You got Boogie. You got Rajon. You got Drew re-signing. People are talking about, I don't think Drew is worth it. Do people still have those same questions now? And I've always been a proponent of this. I'm not knocking LeBron, but you are – you sold these seats.
No, you're
the one that's been behind this.
He could have made this a lot easier on himself by and a lot of players have said too. Kevin Love, his own teammate, says, the fact that we don't know where you're going next year, the fact that you constantly are just
he
signing a one-year contract.
Also, stop calling another grown man, I was going to turn the keys over to the kid. Excuse me? You're calling – you are disrespecting your own point guard, and if not for him, you wouldn't have been in the position that you were in.
I still say that year they came back and won. Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving was the reason why. Let's not forget how many times he has tried to alienate Kevin Love in the past as well.
Yeah, and then when he needed him, like, we need Kevin Love. Dude, you've done everything possible to make Kevin Love.
You have created this tyranny here.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have to agree with Stephen A.
Stephen A's got it.
I have to agree with
him. Here's Anthony Davis. He was asked Saturday night what it's like to win his first series. Listen to the last few seconds.
It was fun. Like I said, it was fun. Dobe been shooting to me all series about, being great, being great and stuff like that. So I just try to go out every game and just play, the best of my ability to go out there and help the team win. Trying to build a legacy here in New Orleans and let people know that we're for real.
I mean, I like to play the sad violin for the people in Boston that are convinced that this guy's continually going to go.
Building a legacy
he wants to build
here
something
in here. New Orleans.
You and I have talked about this a lot. The one thing that annoys me, and I get it's part of our profession in our business, and I understand why they do it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
And AD, let me say this, AD understands.
Right.
And it's like everybody wants the beautiful girlfriend. Everybody wants the great player because they know what AD can do for a franchise and an organization. But just because you want it, don't mean you're going to get it.
Well, I'm talking about as well. I understand your first takes around the horns, ESPN. I mean, you have to fill time. And one thing that elicits opinion is throwing in LeBron and this and that. But the one thing that I was trying to get to is this. When you have a player say what he just said, it validates an argument or a point that you and I have made, arguing all of this national stuff of who's coming to LeBron's aid? Who are they getting together to help? Like, nothing annoys me more than hearing national people go, blah, 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 to help LeBron win the title. You and I have had so many discussions on this where I will. Exactly. Yeah, that's what it sounds
exactly.
like right there. Thank you, Joey.
Exactly.
Because I sit there and go, when did it become your job to help him win a title, A? When did your hopes and dreams and your cementing of a legacy, wanting to create a name for yourself? I mean, like, who does that? And I said this last year, right? When all these teams were making moves. And again, you can thank Golden State. You can thank what LeBron and them did. One of the side effects was what the Pels did. The Pels had to go get better. You mm-hmm. had to go get better if you want to beat Golden State and mm-hmm. Cleveland. Mm-hmm. You know, when they're getting big threes and big, you better have at least a three. You better start with three good players. The Pels have four. I mean, the Pels have, Cousins, Holiday, Davis, and Rondo. Those mm-hmm. are all stars.
Mm-hmm.
They have four of five starters
yes.
that are all star players.
Yes.
They had to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. And what are you seeing? Good basketball.
And you never heard AD calling the franchise out and saying,
exactly
I need this.
Right. But that's my point.
This
they
is why everybody's engaged with AD as well, because they feel like here's a guy who could have easily said, I'm out of here, man. I need to win right now.
Mm-hmm.
He was willing to endure these past losing seasons and look at the benefits of where it is.
Even in the interviews that he had with Wojnarowski and Rachel Nichols this year, in which he said, look, man, getting to the playoffs isn't enough. And mm-hmm. that's what you want to hear. What is he supposed
yes.
to say? No,
yes.
it's great. But what I'm getting at is this too, Dino. All these people saying to go help him win, to go do this, to go do that. I love hearing my franchise player say, I'm here to cement my own legacy. It may not be, but he may not get 6-7 rings.
Right.
But again, Drew Brees may not be the 4-5-6 time Super Bowl winner like Brady. Is he a legend here?
Oh, he is. He could be the mayor. He could be the governor.
Thank you.
He could be the quarterback for the Saints.
What did he do that AD has also done? And boy, you can make a parallel. I mean, they look darn near the same, dude. You can draw a line. He got here and he embraced it.
Yes.
Okay? So it's not L.A. That's why I love New Orleans for what New Orleans is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, AD lives in L.A. in the offseason.
Correct.
When
he
you have that kind of money,
absolutely,
you can go live wherever you want in the offseason. You can go play wherever you want. But what does he do here? He embraces it. He does community work, left and right, stuff that we don't even know about
with his
all the
flight
time.
Academy.
Right, exactly. Yes. So he does all these different things and embraces New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, I want to win here.
Yes.
What did he tell DeMarcus? The story at his press conference. Right? DeMarcus said, come over here and play. What did AD say?
No, you come over here and you play.
Exactly.
We win together over here.
Exactly.
And now who we are?
Exactly.
Now you get Drew to re-sign.
Okay,
now you're bringing Rondo.
Why wouldn't he go to Sacramento? Brand new arena going out there and stuff. You know, that's my point is I love hearing that from him.
He's committed.
We're here to do a legacy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sean Kelly said it at 12:30 and I thought it was a really good point. What Chris Paul, David West, and Chandler did 10 years ago, right, in 2008 in that series, they became household names in this city.
Yeah.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knew. D. West. I mean, they loved them, right? And it's. I think you're seeing that. I mean, seeing, I don't know how much longer Rondo is here. I mean, obviously how long his deals are and all that other stuff. But Holiday and Davis are the center point. I mean, you're seeing it right there.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I mean, DeMarcus has his arm around Gail Benson in the photos of the locker room, you know, after the win and all that stuff. Does he come or not? But point is, with AD and Drew Holiday, it'll be interesting to see how far they can go. But I think it's starting to get people at least pay attention to it. And the only thing you and I have been saying is pay attention to who AD is, man. That guy is something else.
And here's the other thing. You don't hear AD. People talk about, well, LeBron doesn't get into trouble. You don't hear AD out in the streets anywhere doing anything other than playing basketball. The other thing that you like about AD and Drew and Rajon, listen to the respect that they have for each other. And they talk about what they do for each other. You hear AD saying, hey, Doe comes in here every day and tell me to be great. We listen to Doe. This is your franchise player telling you, we're listening to a guy who's been here before.
And I mentioned
not throwing anybody under the bus.
I mentioned to you that game in which they clinched the playoff spot against the Clippers. He looked left and he told DeMarcus to break down the team. And guess what he did again on Saturday? If you go to Pelicans.com, there's video of them in the locker room.
Exactly.
And he told DeMarcus to do it again.
Bro.
He wanted DeMarcus to break the team huddle.
This is a
tight-knit
group.
I say
group.
Kid, but yeah, no.
Hey, don't call him a kid.
Not bad.
All right. Hey, LeBron, you're not going to turn the keys over to the kid when you're ready.
He can turn over the keys to me, though. That's not. I'll take a 10-day. Sports Takeover will continue next on ESPN New Orleans.
Given the situation, you know, like you guys said, the way they came back and cut the lead within, I think, two or three, we put the ball in these guys' hands and they delivered for us. So I got to put that upper as far as top four or five that I've seen with the pressure situation. You know, like I said, we didn't. I mean, given the situation, I mean, Paul against LeBron was one that goes up there, game six at the crib. But other than that, they've had some elite games, very efficient. I think they both shot 15 for 23, 24, or whatever. So couldn't ask for a better duo right now, especially a time need where we needed to get the ball in the hole. You know, we put the ball in Drew's hand. He made the right decisions and knocked down some big free throws.
Rajon Rondo talking about where those performances ranks. Now, he had some pretty good teams. It's crazy. The Celtics only won one. I mean,
You would think they would win like six, the way they talk.
But
that shows you the difficulty in how hard it is to win a championship.
It is. I mean, dude, it's crazy.
And here it is. You had perennially three of the best players in the league at that time, and you were only able to get one and being able to compete at that high level. But, dude, That's the reason why you have to love these guys. I mean, you know, even at the press conference, you hear them laughing and joking around with each other and enjoying each other, man.
So to Rajon Rondo, when he was asked, how far does he think this team can go?
I came here to win a championship. You know, I didn't come here to beat a team in the first round or the second round. My expectations were high coming in, knowing that the talent I was playing with. I think day one when we all got together in Kentucky, I knew it was kind of real as far as the talent that we were playing with, the characteristics of the guys off the court. It kind of all meshed, and it took a while, but at the end of the day, nothing comes together so quickly. And we were able to come together, continue to play for one another, believe in each other. And like I said, this is just one check mark of the big goal that we have in mind. So we're going to continue to try to stay even keel throughout the playoffs, get a couple days of rest, and come back locked in, ready to go against probably the defending champs.
I always thought it's good to have goals and want those things. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I hear that.
The leadership in Rondo.
Jrue Holiday was asked, you know, when he was signing his deal to stay here, what did he think?
This is definitely part of the plan. I guess I wouldn't say that sweeping the three seed was a detail, but knowing when I was coming back, we had DeMarcus. We'd always talked about Rondo coming, and yeah, that was a part of the plan, making the playoffs, and obviously not knowing how far we'd go in the playoffs, but obviously making the playoffs was the plan. But to be here now, man, this is a good feeling, especially with these two right here and the rest of our team. It's again, man, it's nothing but a blessing. Everything we went through this season, from big injuries to trades and all that. I think Anthony said it best. They were sleeping on us, and no, I think everybody counted us out. But to be here at this point right now feels pretty good.
Something that almost goes almost unnoticed is when he says, Dino, hey, we talked about Rondo being a part of this. If you don't think players are talking throughout the season as to who's going to match up, they already know the piece that they need for next year. Guys, am I lying or not? They already know.
You remember when Boston first let him go? What was the first thing I said we needed? We needed a true point guard,
but you understand,
and Rondo was the guy.
Do you not think they're already thinking?
Absolutely.
And already probably have some guys going, hey, but that team looks fun down there.
Absolutely.
And they want to go play with those guys. Because you know what? Like Miritich, your game looks a lot better when you can play with those guys.
And let's not forget how many times he said how much he's enjoyed being here.
Oh, yeah.
And playing with this team.
He said thank you, actually.
Yeah.
He said thank you for
so, training. Again, you have to give Dell in that front office a lot of credit for the way they turned it around,
brother.
It's
been fun hanging out, my friend.
Yes, it All was. Right. Good.
Matt Moscone after further reviews up next. You'll have the latest from the spring game, LSU being swept in his take on the Pels. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.